Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When I was serving a summer vicarage in 1984, I ended up handing off the counseling of a husband and wife who were having marital problems to the new pastor who was installed that summer when I was serving. As things unfolded in the year ahead, after my summer vicarage had ended and I was long gone, the husband was physically abusing his wife and not heeding admonition to stop, so the new pastor there, a good friend of mine, helped the woman to enter a woman's shelter, the wife. The husband was so upset that he sought out that pastor, attacked him, decking him with a punch. And because he made other threats against that pastor and his family were moved from that congregation to another congregation on the other side of the country for his safety. I think many of us can identify with what that pastor experienced. We know that pastors are to care for the bride of Christ. We know that we, as pastors, are vital members of that bride. Yet sometimes we feel like the battered wife instead of the bride of Christ. We have people wanting to deck us because we have confronted one of the many sins linked to sexuality and marriage, which Dr. McKinsey enumerated yesterday in his sermon. If you are feeling a bit battered and unloved as the bride of Christ, you're in the right place today. This, the first of his signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here we see the joyous celebration of a wedding, a prominent image in the Old Testament, as we heard again this morning, and in Jesus' teaching itself, to describe the joy that will happen when Yahweh comes to deliver his bride, his people. One of the consistent Old Testament images that's part of that joy of Yahweh coming in the end time to deliver his bride is the abundance of wine that's part of that celebratory experience. The prophet Amos writes, "The time is surely coming, says Yahweh, when the one who plows shall overtake the one who reaps, the treader of grapes, the one who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with it." Jesus turning 120 to 180 gallons of water into prime vintage is a vivid epiphany that the end times spoken of by those prophets have arrived. The Creator has come to redeem his people and restore his creation to its abundant production. So there is wedding joy with abundant wine. He thus revealed his glory. No longer did one have to journey up to Mount Sinai like Moses to get a glimpse of the glory of Yahweh passing by. No longer did people have to be a prophet like Isaiah to see the glory of the Lord in his heavenly throne room. In this text, we see the glory of Yahweh revealed in the flesh and blood Jesus, who turned water into wine and ultimately showed his true identity as the glory of Yahweh when his final hour arrived. Yes, the hour that had not yet come in this Epiphany miracle is the great epiphany that happened at the cross when our Lord Jesus gave his entire self for the life of this world for you. He was the husband who loved his bride, who loved you so much, he gave himself, his entire self, for her, for you. The sinful world and fellow sinners, even our own sinful flesh, that's what batters us, not this bridegroom. No, he replaces the repeated ritual washings of Jewish purification with choice wines. Why? Because he is the one who cleanses and purifies the filth of our sin with the one washing of water and the Spirit in holy baptism to present us as his radiant and pure bride without spot or stain. In baptism, we experienced that wedding. Yes, it was our wedding service, because there at the font, he received you as his bride and purified you. And he will always be your faithful bridegroom. He will always love. He will always forgive. He will always forget those sins. And when we become the prostitute who runs after the gods of this world, he is the groom who welcomes us back, not to sign divorce papers, but to forgive us, to wash us, our soiled baptismal garments, in the blood that cleanses from all sin. Yes, what is the world excited about this Epiphany? We all know. A Powerball jackpot worth more than $1.5 billion that a few won and many are crying in their beer this week. What excites us this Epiphany? That our bridegroom, manifest at Cana's wedding, we saw it again today, continues to show his glory, continues to be manifested in his flesh and blood, caring and loving us as his precious, beloved bride. The joy that he initiated at the Cana wedding was not a short-lived joy, here today, gone tomorrow, but a joy of a Savior who continues to be present with us, serve us, for a joyous wedding feast that continues whenever and wherever his word is faithfully proclaimed and his body and blood is properly shared, administered, celebrated. In the Lord's Supper today, the Epiphany of our Lord continues before your very eyes and in your very mouth and body. Yes, his very flesh and blood manifested with this bread and wine. Here we see his glory, the very glory seen by the prophets of old, the very glory seen at Cana, the very glory seen climactically at our Lord's cross and crucifixion. And we taste not the prime vintage that Jesus made at Cana. No, we have it better. Because with this wine, we receive the blood of Christ. And it's priceless. Much better than that Powerball jackpot. One drop of this, priceless. And here we are reminded that we are the church. That we aren't a battered wife, nor are we a widow who's sitting here trying to remember what our husband looks like. No, we are the bride of a living Savior who in faith we recognize and welcome as our groom here today, because he is present and he is purifying our sinful body with his true body and blood. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Amen.